Thank you. Good day, friends. We are starting a brief series of studies on the prophet Elijah. I know that if you've read your Old Testament at all, you have rejoiced in the story of Elijah, of how God has had a man in the midst of a decadence, in the midst of a spiritual declension and apostasy, who stood for him, and he felt as if he stood alone. And as we go into this story, into this blessed revelation of the prophet of God and of how God used him, may the Lord talk to your hearts and to my heart. I believe that we are just living in the same sort of a time today. And just as Israel was away from God, running after other gods, God has to have a man, and God will have man, and God will have men and women who will stand for him and with him and be true to him with his message. Allow me to read the first two or three verses of 1 Kings chapter 17, where we have this wonderful revelation of the presence of God, even in the midst of a nation that was immoral, corrupt, and idolatrous. I'm reading from the first verse of chapter 17 of 1 Kings. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these words, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, which that is beyond or before Jordan. It shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. Now, to get a little background of this, it might be well for me to say that here is a man who was born on the other side of east of Jordan, from Gilead. And I take it that his parents must have been godly men, a godly parents. Otherwise, they would not have given him such a name as Elijah, which means Jehovah is my God, or as some have said, Jehovah is my strength. Remember that the whole country is in idolatry. In fact, from Jeroboam right on down through, the nation went further and further and further into idolatry and into moral corruption. And now a man by the name of Ahab is on the throne. And he married a woman by the name of Jezebel. And you know, as you read down through history, even today, Jezebel, this name speaks of immorality and corruption. She was an idolatrous, a very evil woman. She came from Sidon. She was not an Israelite. She was a Canaanite. She was an idolater, and she brought the worship of Baal with her. In fact, Ahab led Israel into the worship of Baal. And the gods of Baal were all round Israel. And in the midst of this, along came this man, Elijah. I say he must have had godly parents, otherwise they would not have called him Elijah. Jehovah is my God. Jehovah is my strength. You know, that takes courage, the courage of faith to do a thing like that, because this man, Ahab, had passed an edict that every prophet of the Lord should be slain. Now you read that in chapter 18 and 19. Every prophet of the Lord should be slain. And here one day, into the very court of Ahab, came this man from the other side of Jordan. And it's possible, you know, that Elijah could have been a sheep herder or a goat herder, which was the general occupation of those on the east side of Jordan. And he came stalking into the court of Ahab with all the perfumery of an eastern court. And he said, mark the words that he said. He said unto the king, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That's an amazing statement, is it not? And yet, you know, he had scripture for this. Allow me to read from the book of Deuteronomy. I'm reading from chapter 11, verses 16 and 17. Before Israel came into the land, into the promised land, God gave them some various warnings and exhortations. Listen to these words. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Now you keep this scripture in mind. God had said, if you go into idolatry, that is when you get to the promised land, and you leave me and you serve other gods, I will shut up the heavens to you so it will not rain, nor will there be any dew on the land. Now here's a man, Ahab. In fact, before him was Jeroboam and the descendants of Jeroboam. They were all evil men, and they were idolaters. But Ahab was the worst of the bunch. And he brought in the worship of Baal right into Jerusalem. And Ahab led Israel into more idolatry and corruption than all his predecessors. And yet they were still getting rain. Now that's one picture. Over here east of Jordan is a boy, is a young man by the name of Elijah. Jehovah is my God. Jehovah is my strength. Now remember, Ahab had said, I'll kill everyone who follows Jehovah. And if I may give you the little scene, I know it's not in the book, but possibly if you can conceive of this, and I'm sure I'm saying that possibly this is what took place, where Elijah one day said to God, now remember, he said, Jehovah before whom I stand. He was a man who knew his God. Even in the midst of a corrupt generation, God had a man who knew him, a man who communed with him. And God today is going to have a people, in spite of all the conditions of the world, or of our nation, he's going to have those. God will always have a remnant who will know him, who will communicate with him. I hope you belong to that group. And one day, Elijah said to God, why don't you keep your word? You said through Moses, the great lawgiver, that if this people were ever to go into idolatry, you would shut the heavens to them. And now behold, the nation is in idolatry and has been for years. And you've never shut the heavens. And so God would say to Elijah, but Elijah, if I were to shut the heavens so it wouldn't rain, how would Ahab know that I have shut the heavens? Ahab might just say, oh, we're just going to have a drought. We're going to have a famine. It is common. It's happened before. It'll happen again. There's going to be a drought. There's going to be a famine. So if I shut the heavens, he will not know that I am the one who has shut the heavens as a judgment upon the sin of Israel. Oh, said Elijah, you want someone to go down there and tell him? Yes. So Elijah came to the king. And I can just see this man coming from the east side of Jordan, a man who was not raised among courtiers or the followers of the court, not used with all the perfumery of an eastern court, stalking in, possibly clothed in goatskins. Who knows? And he says, Ahab, Jehovah, before whom I stand, the heavens will be closed at my word. Now mark that verse, will you please? First of all, may I suggest from Proverbs, which says, the righteous are as bold as a lion. And here's a man who is standing in the presence of God, Jehovah before whom I stand. Who is Ahab to a man like this? Nothing. I'm reminded of Moses, by the way, who came in the presence of the mighty Pharaoh and pronounced judgment upon Egypt. Why? Because he was God's man. He came from the presence of the Lord. You know, sometimes I think of some of these dear girls who have gone out, young women who have gone out to different parts of the world. I think of some in South America or in Africa or other places where they have gone in the midst of vileness, of corruption, of disease, of idolatry, and there they have stood pure and had a testimony for God to others. I tell you, the righteous are as bold as a lion. When one leaves the presence of God, who is there to stay their hand? Ahab, the heavens are going to be closed at my word. I thought it was God's word. As I read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 11, God says, I will close the heavens that it will give no more dew nor rain if you go into idolatry. But you see, the word of the Lord had become the word of Elijah. Which brings me to the New Testament. In Romans chapter 2, verse 16, Paul says, God is going to judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Paul had taken the word of God and made it his own. Has the word of God become so real to you, you've made it your own? For example, a very simple thing. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I've made that verse my own. I'm not going to perish. I have eternal life because this is the word of God. And having accepted the word of God and believe it to be true, it becomes mine. It's what Paul says. Men are going to be judged according to my gospel. The word of God had become his word. And so Elijah could say, Jehovah, before whom I stand, the heavens will be closed at my word. As the representative of Jehovah, he could pronounce judgment upon the nation and upon the king. Now remember, he is standing before a king who had vowed he would kill every prophet of Jehovah. And here is one standing before him. And I'm sure that Elijah didn't have any swords or spears with him. I think he just stood there in possibly his goat skins in the midst of all the courtiers and the king and pronounced the judgment of God upon Ahab and upon the land. I would say to you today, and I talk to you Christians for a moment especially, in fact I'm talking to you mostly when I say, as we see declension and apostasy growing in our land, as we see moral corruption on the increase, as we see indifference and even opposition to the living God today in our own land, this land which God has so blessed, God's looking for men and for women who will come from his presence and stand before our generation and give a testimony of the precious gospel of the grace of God, that our generation might be delivered from the coming wrath and judgment of God. For believe me, my friend, whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not, God has blessed this nation so much, and now we have turned our backs upon God. For the most part, our ecclesiastical leaders have turned from the word of God. They've repudiated the deity, the person of our Savior. They laugh to scorn the work he has accomplished on the cross and in resurrection. In fact, they don't believe that he ever was raised from the dead. They make him just a man. And think you that this nation is going to be freed from the judgment and wrath of God after having been so blessed of God? We're just digging our own grave. And yet, in the midst of it, God's going to have people who will stand for him. Elijah stood for God, and he stood alone. In fact, two or three times later on, you have that this man Elijah said to God, "I'm the only fellow you got left. I'm the only one you've got." He didn't know anyone with whom he could have fellowship. Until afterwards, toward the end of his life, he had Elisha, the one who followed him. But yet he stood for God. You say, "Well, Mr. Mitchell, there were 7,000 who had never bowed the knee to Baal." That's true. But who knew them? Just God. And this man feels he's alone. And yet, I repeat, when a man is standing in the presence of God, Jehovah before whom I stand, Jehovah is my God, Jehovah is my strength, he can stand and bear testimony even before the enemies of God and pronounce the judgment of God. You see, the pronouncing of judgment is for a purpose, that the nation would repent. May I again remind you that God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And yet, my friend, he's still long-suffering today. God wants people to accept his Son and be saved. God yearns for your fellowship. He wants you to come into right relationship with himself and be able to say with Elijah, "Jehovah is my God." You ever stop to think of it? That wherever this man went, even when he was a boy, and people said to him, "What is your name?" "My name's Elijah. Jehovah is my God. Jehovah is my strength." In the midst of moral corruption and idolatry, God had his man. So we have in this first verse of 1 Kings chapter 17, I want you to get this picture as we go on into the story of this man Elijah. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now may I just appeal to those of you who love the Savior. The two things in the verse that I want to get in your heart, and I don't mind repeating them. God had a man in the midst of that day who stood before Jehovah. That is, he was in fellowship with his God. Are you, Christian friend, are you in fellowship with your God? Even though you might be surrounded by neighbors and friends and where you work, and you see sin and indifference to the Lord, in fact you see opposition, sarcasm, people call you all kinds of names, that's true. But are you faithful to your God today? Are you walking in his presence? Are you in fellowship with him? This is the great yearning of the heart of God. Even in Elijah's day, when the whole nation was in idolatry, even though he stood alone, he was going to walk with God. Will you? Will you? Even though you may be surrounded by all who reject the Savior and possibly make mockery of your walk before God, are you going to stand for God today? And then the second thing is, will you make the Word of God your own? Now that means you're going to spend time in the Word of God. That means you're going to make it your own. Even though you only have the time to read 3 or 4 verses a day, make them your own. Make them your own. May they live in you in the power of the Spirit of God. And God will honor you. And you'll know something of the presence of God, the power of God, and especially the fellowship of God. Oh, that you and I might long and yearn to walk today in his presence. I'd like you to read the 17th and 18th and 19th chapters of 1 Kings, if you will, these days. It's interesting to read it and reread it. And in some way, may the Lord himself reveal truth to you. Not just wait for me to tell you what's in there, to get something for yourself. I know that the Spirit of God who indwells you can reveal to you the wonders of his grace, the marvels of his love. And may you today know something about standing before Jehovah, of coming in the presence of your Lord and enjoying His fellowship today, so that you could become His messenger to some lonely, hungry heart that needs Him. And the Lord bless you for His precious name's sake.